welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning to Hebrew Nation Radio. You're with the wise guys, and you're probably waking up to more fantastic news from around the world. Maybe in your neighborhood. It seems like we're just constantly hearing wonderful stories about
China, 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 Russia, 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 Russia.
Yeah, right. And even in your neighborhood.
And balloons.
Yes, we have explosions and we have murders and we have shootings.
And train derailments for gas, fumes and disturbing stuff.
So sing with me. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood.
You're going to zip up your sweater and change your shoes now?
Change my shoes. How do we come to terms with this stuff? I mean, it's just we're being inundated and we're being thrown into it. And we're gonna come to some conclusions today. If you hang on tight with the wise guys, we do not know exactly where we're going yet today. But I guarantee you.
We'll know when we got there at the end.
We'll figure it out, all right? And we're going to have fun with this one today. I'm looking forward to it. Speaking of looking forward to it, Aaron always likes to bring us up on what happens on these days. But before we start, let's just bow our heads, worship the Almighty. Abba, Father, we want to thank you. Even in the midst of chaos, we want to thank you for the peace that you bring to us. In the midst of chaos, we still want to claim on to the concept that you have given us over and time again, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there is none other. You've given it to us in your name. You've given it to us in the pictures of the letters that are within your name, that you are the mighty hand that rescues us from bondage. Father, we can take that to the bank, even in the midst of everything that goes around. So, Father, we ask for your presence. We ask for your spirit. We claim the blood of your son that you gave us that allows us to come into your throne room, that allows us to claim salvation, because in his name there is salvation. So, Father, we praise you in all that we say and do, all that we see and hear, in everything that we say. Give us the peace and understanding that only comes from you. In thy blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, man, that's a good way to start, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. So we've gotten in the habit. I mean, Aaron he always researches some stuff for us, and I really appreciate it, you know, about things that happen on the day that we meet, right? You know, what is the purpose of that anyways? I mean, why would we even think about, you know, what happened on like the 21st or the 23rd or whatever day it is? I mean, does that have any significance to us? I mean, what got you to doing that?
Well, one, I just like history. I'm always just fascinated with history. That's just kind of a thing for me. But one reason why we do look back at history is those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it.
Right.
Leave that one there, Joe. Anyway, so today, February 21st, there's a couple of, several things of significance that happened. A couple of fun ones. Dolly Parton cements her crossover success from, you know, just being, you know, Christian gospel singer to pop singer.
Yeah.
With the success of 9 to 5 hit number one today.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Dolly Parton.
And then she goes on to do a TV show, 9 to 5.
Yes, she was a gospel singer. And
songwriter. Major songwriter.
Yes. Wow.
And even Steph, she wrote songs for a lot of other artists and made a lot of other artists big hits because of her writing.
Wow.
So
keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep that in mind. That working 9 to 5 is really big for us today.
Yeah. So that hit number one today. The Washington Monument is dedicated today in 1885.
Really?
Yeah. It took from when it was first proposed in 1783, it took 102 years to be completed. Now, during the Civil War, it stopped during the Civil War. And if you look at it, you can see where it was stopped because there's a definite change in color in the marble.
That's the big old Egyptian obelisk that is in the middle of our country, right?
Yeah, 555 feet tall.
For those of you that didn't understand Rollins' word, it's obelisk.
Obelisk is the correct way to say it.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a really fascinating just structure.
Yeah. Structures are around the world.
When that one was built, it was the tallest structure in the world.
Well, that would be an interesting study to find out how that connects the rest of the obelisks around the world that worship the sun.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was also dedicated on this day. Mm-hmm. Dick Button, anybody that is watches sports at all?
Yeah, he was a huge sportscaster.
He was a swimmer.
Right?
Figure skater.
That's right.
Then he became a sportscaster.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He won his second gold on this day in 52.
I love the last name, Button.
Yeah.
I mean,
NASCAR's founded today.
Really?
Yeah. In 1918, Allied troops captured Jericho.
Really?
Yeah.
That's in World War II.
No, World War One.
That'd be one. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the last two here, they seem to kind of connect.
Okay.
Today is the day that Malcolm X, you know, very significant individual in Black History. Oh, wait, this is Black History Month. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Anyway, he's assassinated on this day.
Wow.
At the age of 39.
Yeah, he's pretty young.
Yeah, 39. And the other thing that just was really kind of interesting, how it just popped up, happened to be on the same day. Today is the day that Karl Marx publishes the Communist Manifesto.
Interesting.
Just was really interesting, like you said, how these two lined up on the same day.
Yeah, because
that was one of the
first efforts at the BLM movement, so to speak, even though it wasn't called BLM.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X was a militant leader that was really standing up. In fact, if you remember from the Olympics, you would see some of our black athletes, when they accepted the awards, would put up their fist.
Yeah.
And if you notice from BLM, what's one of the inscriptions there? The raised fist against, and it's or standing before. That's interesting. There's another raised fist picture, you know, in scripture. And that's Nimrod said that he was a mighty warrior before Yahweh. Hmm. And that's a symbol of standing before in defiance with a raised fist against Yahweh himself.
Interesting.
It is interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's some history for you.
So we got our history going on.
Yeah.
I want to go back to that 9 to 5 song. Isn't it amazing?
Unless, of course, you're a banker, then maybe you work 9 to 5, possibly.
when do they work? 9:30 to 4? Or is it?
No, they take the days off that end in Y.
Which is most of the days.
I had to think about that one for a minute. Let's go, what in the world? Monday, why? Tuesday, why? Yeah, cut it out, man.
They between the bankers and government people, post office being also in that group, how many days a year do they work? Not anywhere near as many as you and I do.
Right. You know, it's fascinating when you try to find a doctor, you know? Uh-huh. Like if you lose your family doctor and you got to find another doctor, they always tell you, but I don't come into the office on this day and this day and this day. Well, when do you come in? Tuesday and Wednesday.
Or every third week.
You're going, wow. 9 to 5. Have you guys ever heard that ad that goes out? I don't remember who says it, but it comes on the radio and it says, hey, do you have the same haircut that everyone else has? Do you drive the same car? Do you leave at the same time in the morning and come back at the same time in the evening? Do you ever feel like you've lost your individuality?
Welcome to Democrat America.
And I'm thinking to myself, wow, Dolly Parton knew what she was writing about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, this concept of we work and we work and we work. But when do we rest would be the question.
You know, she actually got herself in a little bit of hot water because she did a parody, if you will, on that song for one of these – you know, job posting websites for like, you know, for picking up extra work. And it was, working 5 to 9. And so people got, all up in arms because they're saying, because they didn't like the fact that she was saying, hey, you might need to work 9 to 5 and then 5 to 9 as well, just to get ahead. And people are like, rah, 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 rah. We need more money. We minimum wage needs to go up. I was like, no, we just need to work our tail off sometimes.
Why do we wind ourselves up like that? I mean, it's like, well, because it's a survival need, right?
Yeah.
For some. I mean, I know the younger generation are having to actually work two jobs just to pay their rent.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline. Discipline.
Yeah.
Discipline. We don't practice discipline. We're not taught that when we grew up.
Does that mean carry a switch?
Could be.
Okay.
What does discipline have to do with work? I mean, it's just
discipline is that you hold yourself back. You don't deserve everything, Ron. This is a nice idea. It would be nice if certain things were right in my life that I could have this particular thing for my family, for myself, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't deserve it. I don't have to have this thing. It's an extra. Mm-hmm. The things that I need are food and clothing and shelter. Those are what I need.
And a big screen TV.
No, you don't need that.
And a new car every 5 years.
Wow, I thought it was every 1 year, every 2 years.
No, I can go 5 years.
Okay.
But well, a new cell phone, new iPhone cell phone.
Every 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's the whole deal is that we're so used to getting it when we want it. And that's not the way it should be. The way it should be is when you need it. And we're not taught that very well. And so
want versus need. And when
I need
it's appropriate.
A new big screen TV. I need
Aaron,
a new truck.
Would you and your family die if you didn't have that large screen TV?
Possibly.
Possibly. There's the key.
Yeah, we think like that. You know, speaking of big screen TVs, there was this documentary that was aired about this guy who had this little yellow VW bug. And he traveled the world seeing if anyone would put him up in the evening. Okay,
and let him watch on a big screen TV.
Well, you know, I mean, we were watching this on a big screen TV, but he's traveling the world and he goes to these different places and he's relying on hospitality on wherever he goes, right? And so he shows up and he starts asking people, hey, you know, you mind if I stay at your place tonight? And people look at him like, who are you, right? And I don't want to do that, you know. But, then he would ask again, and pretty soon he would find these amazing places that he stayed. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the places, that, well, there's two that I remember keenly, all right? One was he was in a country where it was just riddled with poverty.
California.
Yeah. And this guy had a bike that he used to sell items, and he would pedal it to the village, which was about 10 miles away, and he'd pedal all day long, mm-hmm. sell his products, and then pedal back. And the guy met him in the village. And he says, yes, you're welcome to come to our house. We'll give you a meal, and we'll let you stay. And the guy goes, okay, this is cool. I finally found a place to stay. Well, he gets back there with this guy, and it's nothing but this shack. I mean, the whole family, their whole family stays in another room to give him the one bedroom.
Wow.
The one bedroom, okay? And they all move to their one family area, and I mean by family area because it has the kitchen, has the bathroom, has everything there. They all stay there to give him the one bedroom.
The privacy.
And then they go ahead and they're limited in funds, and they give him what their meal. They share with the meal, and they let him eat first.
Wow.
They eat last. And they're still smiling. And they and this family, they're, the kids are jumping on and, you know, loving on dad, and he sees this joy, right? Now, this guy had a little caveat with his journeys, right?
I mean, that's a really nice thing for these very poor people to bring in this poor person who, you know, trying to travel the country, and he just doesn't have anything of his own. That's really nice to take care of somebody that's just like yourself, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had one special surprise for him.
Wait, what surprise is that?
He wasn't poor.
Yeah, he wasn't poor. He was just doing
an experiment.
Really?
He would find these families, and whoever put him up like this and gave him everything, he in turn bestowed upon them gifts that you would not imagine.
Wow.
So he bought them a home. He set the guy up with his own business.
Wow.
In the town.
And took all the profits.
No.
Oh.
He allowed him to be creative in order to create. He just blessed him.
Mm-hmm.
The tears that came out of this guy's eyes and his and the family. I mean, once they found out who this guy really was,
mm-hmm.
they were just, I couldn't believe it.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, the second one was a homeless guy who had had a whole bunch of stuff go wrong. His wife had left him. I mean, it was almost like a bad movie, right? His wife left him. His dog left him, and he lost his job.
So basically, you mean a country song?
Yeah,
the guy was a country song.
Lost everything. All right, and then he lost everything because of this medical problem that he had.
Okay,
that he needed surgery for, and he couldn't pay for it.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy shows up, and guess what? This guy offers him. Okay, hey, come sleep with me. I'll make you something to sleep. And the guy says, but you're homeless. The guy says, not a problem. So he brings him over to this corner that's near this heater, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has extra cardboard. So he makes cardboard house for him to stay with him. He has some food that he's gotten because someone gave him some food money.
Mm-hmm.
And he shares his meal with this guy. Guess what? The guy pays for his surgery. He helps him line up a job.
Wow.
Okay?
Nice.
He gets back on his feet. A few years later, the guy's completely independent on his own.
Wow.
Making it. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, that would be fun to do. Now, it wouldn't be quite as fun to be, you know, laying on the sidewalk for a night. He's on a piece of cardboard.
He slept on cardboard with the guy.
But that, you know, hey, I've got something to tell you. I have a little bit of money. Let me help you out. That part of it would be very fun to kind of come back and do that when somebody is just, being kind, treating somebody else like a human being.
That's what I want us to get to today. For those of you that are listening to us right now, you're thinking, where are the wise guys going? What is going on with this?
If you figure that out, please tell us.
I know, right? I think I know what we should be doing, and that is this whole concept of the Creator, Yahweh, knowing what's best for us. When we met earlier here, I was talking to the guys here about a podcast I was just listening to, and it talked about...
And it really rattled you.
Yeah, it rattled me. Okay, but it talked about all the days of the week where Yahweh said in Bereshit in Genesis that were good. The first day was good. The second day is good. The third day is good. The fourth is good. The fifth, the sixth. On the seventh day, on his rest day.
It said it was glorious.
It said it was
super fantastic.
No. None of
it was the greatest thing ever.
No, he just sat back and reveled and he rested. Rested means he's at peace with what happened. And so I'm trying to figure out, why would God rest? Okay? And they answer that in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because resting in the Hebrew mindset means to sit back and to enjoy. You've already done it. Now you're looking at that thing and going, man, everything's here. I don't need to fix anything. I don't need to change anything. It's just all good.
The concept for me in thinking about Sabbath, and it's developed over the years, but it's been this way strong in me for the last 10 years, is it's when you're resting on Sabbath, is you're not selfing. You're not doing anything for self. You're doing everything for Him. And that's why the priests and anybody that was working directly for Yahweh's way, sometimes it certainly looked like they were busting their buns.
Right.
They were working. They were physically working,
right.
Sweating,
yeah.
And all that kind of stuff, but they weren't working for self.
There wasn't no personal gain.
There was no personal gain. There
so
was
what does that feel
his
like?
Gain. It feels glorious.
Right.
It feels because you are doing something for the Master, and there is no better thing in this world than doing something for the Master.
It feels good. There's a peace that comes over you.
There's a rightness.
Yahweh.
You know, and it's like Yahweh calls it righteousness. It's what I term righteousness is rightness. It's it's correct. It's what you should be doing at all times. Mm-hmm. It's like all these woes that we have in the world, in society, that, you know, it's good to study scriptures. It's good to discuss with each other, to try to figure out the best ways to make this right.
Mm-hmm.
But the best way to deal with it is to go in to the Father and the Son in prayer and the Ruach. And because they're the ones, it's going to be their way that prevails. And so we can't find out what their way is without prayer.
That, in a sense, is a rest.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it? I'm putting myself in them or in their presence.
Yeah, and rest is not sleeping. Rest is not taking it easy. Rest is taking it not self.
Yeah.
Keeping self out of the picture.
You know, in Genesis story, Yahweh God, he's the one that creates. He speaks. He brings in light, which shows the three parts of him. But there's also this concept of, I gave everything in the world for man to do. Now I get to sit back and watch him do it.
Exactly.
It's kind of like this story that I was talking about, this millionaire that would go into these places. He would gather what they have, but he looked at these people with value.
Mm-hmm.
He valued every person, and he listened to them. And then he assisted them. I see a creator that actually creates, sets back and goes, okay, let me see you do your thing. I've given you everything that's here. Not only have I given you the seeds and the plants and each other and the animals, but I've also given you me.
Yeah.
And on the seventh day, you get to rest in me to regenerate you for the next coming week. You're not working 9 to 5 with just being a slave. Yeah, you might be stuck in that mode, but I have something better. Hang on to it.
You can't me through the darkest night, through the shadow of death into the light.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Broke at the break. We broke at the break.
We broke at the break. Yeah. More breakers.
You like that?
Woo-hoo.
We broke at the break, getting ready to talk about rest, but we're gonna do one thing here that the guys aren't expecting.
Uh oh.
Okay. Who is Mr. Radio Voice? Robert.
Yes.
Randall.
Robert Randall. I had to get back there. My head wasn't quick enough to get back.
Robert Randall's Mr. Radio Voice.
Yes.
And he's going into surgery in just a couple of hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the surgery actually is going to be on his throat.
Yikes.
Right? So we're going to rest in Yahweh right now. We're going to pray for him, okay, because he's asking for prayer to make sure we – yeah. So let's just do that.
Amen.
Abba, Father, we want to lift up our brother in Yeshua, Robert Randall. Father, you know him, and you know the situation. We ask for your mighty hand that it surrounds him, it covers him, it protects him, and it leads him. We ask the same thing is true for those that are working on him, the nurses, the doctors, the surgeons, the staff, the instruments, that they all belong to you and they're all guided by you. Father, we know that you have great things in store for Robert because he has dedicated his life to you. And we know that he is your servant. So, Father, we place him in your mighty hands, in your healing power. We thank you for hearing our prayer, and we thank you for surrounding Robert with your angelic host. With your angelic words and wisdom. Father, we praise you in everything, not just in some things, not just in little things, but everything. So right now, we even praise you for this opportunity to pray for Robert. And we praise you for the opportunity that Robert has in the hospital to even mirror your kingdom. So we thank you in thy blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Okay, Brother Robert. Be super blessed today and enjoy the sweet dream factor when you go into the surgery.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
I appreciated that a lot when I went in for mine. Man, you're talking to the doctors and then all of a sudden, boom, you're out.
I've only been out like that. I've passed out one time from with food poisoning. I just got so sick that I passed out. I did that one time. And I went into surgery one time to have my four wisdom teeth pulled. I was like, I don't want to hear it, so put me out. And then when I dislocated my elbow, that one was a little different. They did something, but it's so weird, that feeling of, like you were talking about,
yeah.
They say, okay, count backwards. I have no memory from that moment to the ladies leaning over me saying, oh, here he comes back out again.
I know, right?
You know, this is nothing.
Here's
it's like, wow.
Here's a stranger that's over you shaking. You go, Mr. Betts, Mr. Yeah. Betts, are you awake? Wake up, Mr. Betts.
and I was like, I hear this, well, here he comes. And I kind of opened my eyes up, and the strange lady was like, I don't know who that is. I look around. Okay, there's my mama. I'm okay. You know, it's like, okay.
I got mama. I'm fine. Mama. You rested in that assurance.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think we were talking about rest before the break, and I think this is where we're going to be going today is how do we rest? What's the importance of rest? And what's the mighty hand? What is the mighty hand of Yahweh? How does he lead us towards that rest? We started the day off, which just fascinated to me, Aaron, that you brought up the song of Dolly Parton, working nine to five. And I was going, really? You actually bring this up?
Do you work 9 to 5?
I'm self-employed. You know, someone had asked me the other day, well, why are you working today? It's President's Day. And I says, I don't know a holiday.
Yeah.
I'm self-employed. What is a holiday?
Yeah. I mean, for me, Tuck, you can rest on this topic since you're retired. our office is only open Monday through Thursday. We just don't have enough business to really do the Friday. Our office manager, she does some stuff on Friday.
Yeah.
It's kind of like almost flex time, if you will, I guess, where she kind of picks some stuff up, but she does it from home. So I usually have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off of work. Hmm. But that doesn't mean that I have to do stuff. I've got to go over to my folks' house, do some stuff over there for them sometimes. I got to do stuff around my own house sometimes. Occasionally, I have to run down to the office because I run our family business. Mm-hmm. I can do that on Sunday sometimes too. So just like what you're saying, same thing. You know, we have to just do stuff outside of the hours that we are working. You know,
I noticed how many times you repeated something.
Okay,
I gotta. I think you said it 5 times. If I was correct, I gotta do this and mm-hmm. I gotta do that. And that's so like all of us.
Yeah.
We use those words, I gotta. But yet Yahweh says, I have this day set aside for you. I have some Moedim set aside for you that mm-hmm. I want you to rest in me.
Yeah. In him.
In him.
Not in yourself. Mm-hmm. In him.
Yeah, he even calls these Moedim, these feast days, his set apart times, where he actually says, I'm going to visit you, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that and go, wow, the guy who created me, okay, mm-hmm. who actually knows what's best for me, is going to visit me to regenerate me so I can be a better creation. I mean, what a novel thought.
The king is coming to visit with me.
That's pretty awesome. So I can actually, you know, do better. I mean, okay, so let's take it back here. I mean, we're going to delve in two areas today, both Genesis and Exodus. So let's go to Exodus for a minute.
Okay.
All right.
Gus wouldn't be happy with you, but, you know, whatever.
And you're the one that brought up the 9 to 5 song. So, all right. This is all your fault.
I think I'll take it.
But the Israelites, when they were slaves
mm-hmm.
in Egypt.
So, sun up to sundown, probably.
How often do they work? Yeah. Constantly, right? Mm-hmm. What was their value?
Nada.
Right.
Zip.
Well.
Zilch.
Their value would be according to how many things they would make for the government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you made a lot of bricks, you had value. If you didn't make a lot of bricks, no value.
Right.
I kill you if you make no bricks.
Was that a little bit of Ahmed the Terrorist?
I kill you.
Anyway, go ahead.
Are we getting rid of your babies? You know, but we think about it, so your only value is what you produced.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let that resonate for a minute.
Wow, so many thoughts per going into, you know, thinking about today.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
I mean, that just astounded me. This is what I was learning on the podcast today, is where we as humans place our value is by what we produce, how much we got to do things,
mm-hmm.
all this work. And that seems to be our focal point. And by working and value of producing, we many times forget that resting aspect.
Yeah.
There was the other thing I was learning in this video. It's the Brema report, in case anyone wants to look it up. Marty Solomon is the one that was talking about this. And he even started talking about it because it wasn't his idea. He said, he learned this from another teaching. I don't have that down. So we're not using his stuff, but I'm just responding to it. But he was saying that the Jewish side of life, why did they celebrate the Sabbath? Why did they start at sundown? Why not start at sunlight? And he said it was all about this concept of resting because they put so much value on the Sabbath that if I enter Sabbath on the evening, I'm automatically resting from my work and resting in the Creator. You automatically move towards that rest factor.
Okay.
And
so you finish your day of work, you come home, you have your dinner, and then sundown, you move into the time of rest, of slowing down from your whole busy week of everything. And
yeah.
But that's when the new day starts.
Yeah, and I thought that was fascinating, that to begin a new day, we begin the new day
with rest.
With rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, because look at the creation of the world. It didn't begin in the daytime. It began at night.
Yeah.
And
isn't that fascinating?
Why? I mean, that's one of the questions. Yahweh.
I know, right? Yeah.
Why did you do it this way?
Why did you do it like that?
Yeah. Makes no sense. Well, son.
makes no sense in my pea brain.
I know, right? In my small little brain. You know, and the same is true. Okay, so if we go back to the slaves in Exodus, they had their value only in bricks. They had their value only in the amount of hours that they worked. And yet Yahweh rescues them from Egypt, and he takes them into the wilderness, and he teaches him his Moedim, his feast days, his rest days. Why?
Why did he do this? Because of the agreement that he made with Abraham.
Yeah.
Years ago, he made a covenant with Abraham that your people would be leaders of the world. And so regardless of whether or not they were worth it, he made the deal with Abraham that he would make this happen. So he did.
Yeah, and but being leaders, I mean, look at what he led them to.
Oh, I know.
A tabernacle and feast days.
Yep.
And you're going, okay. Now, if you guys don't know, that the tabernacle is talked about in 50 chapters in the Bible.
Wow.
It's the most talked about aspect in Scripture than anything else.
Wow.
The tabernacle. Now, that means we should stand up and take a look at that.
What does the tabernacle represent? It represents communication with Yahweh.
Right.
Oh, I was going to say church.
Yeah, but
that's what you do at church. That's right? What you should do at church.
Right.
Is communicate with the Father.
The other aspect has to do with Yeshua, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the predominance of the Scripture. It's not about a good prophet. It's not about a good man. It's not about anything else other than this Messiah,
right?
Yeshua, who's going to bring us into communication with Yahweh or rest. Hmm. So Israel leaves to go find out rest. What do they have to go through to find out rest?
Well, it's a lot of trying times. They get trapped between a couple of mountains and a big giant sea with the bad guys coming to get them again. So they're tested there. They're tested out in the desert where there is no water. They're tested where there's no food. They're tested without the leader of Moses being right there in front of them. It really comes back to, I think, how we raise our children today.
Okay. What's the first festival?
The first in the cycle?
Yeah.
Unleavened bread. People would disagree with me. Some people would say Passover is first, but I don't know that Passover is a festival.
Well, it's probably not listed, but it's definitely a marker.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Passover.
It's the first event.
The first event.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like? What was that like? You know, when I.
Introspective, I guess, maybe.
Okay, so before we go there, okay, let's just define rest in American terms, okay? But we could also define rest in Hebrew terms.
Mm-hmm.
But rest in American terms means taking a break, taking a breather.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time out. We even use words like relaxation or recreation. It's a remainder, a residue, a surplus, the rest of something, the rest of the story, the rest of these things.
Right.
or the excess. I have a whole lot of M&Ms, but here are the rest of the M&Ms.
I don't understand that.
No, I thought you would.
That one doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
There is no rest for Aaron.
There is no remainder of M&Ms.
They're all gone.
It also means to rest in something or have support. I rest on a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're given rest to uphold you.
It's a moment away from the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I think about this, and we're asked to come into a rest, how do we struggle with this when we first come to know Yahweh? Is he our timeout? Is he our excess? Is he our support? Is he our sleep? Is he our residue? What is he?
Yep. All the above. D.
So that's what Israel, when they learned to enter his rest, in fact, Hebrews says that they weren't able to enter my rest
mm-hmm.
because of our sins. Oh, my word. I know where this is going, I think. Oh, this is going to take us to the mercy seat, but not yet.
Okay. I know you've been wanting to get there.
They will not enter my rest because they didn't know me. Know in Hebrew language means to be intimately involved.
Mm-hmm. Because when they were in Egypt, when they were slaves in Egypt, they were working 7 days a week, sun up to sundown.
Yeah.
We assume. And so they didn't have that day of rest. They didn't have that day of worship. Mm-hmm. They had to work all the time. So when they leave that, that's the only thing that those generations knew. Previous generations, their great-grandparents or so, would have known some of that. But somewhere in there, that transition happened, and all of the living people at that point that left in the Exodus, they only knew work all the time.
But what's the first marker of the transition? The Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've been working all this time. The plagues have all occurred. And what does Yahweh tell them to do? Go to your homes. Put blood over your doorposts. Mm-hmm. Keep a lamb in your house. Okay?
Bad
get
idea.
Ready for it to be quiet. You're going to eat this meal that I'm asking you to do and get ready to go to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That picture in and of itself is amazing.
Yeah.
Get ready to be freed. Go to your house. Put blood over your doorposts. Eat this lamb that's supposed to be unblemished. Share it with your family. If anyone else doesn't have a lamb, share it with them. Be hospitable.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that they're going to have freedom shortly.
Yeah.
Does that line up with the term rest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it also, rest can mean a frame, a support, a stand, everything to base things from.
Mm-hmm.
So if I take that Passover and I start to base everything from that, or support it from that, I'm basing everything on this picture of Messiah and his blood and his covering for me so I can have freedom or rest in the Creator. It's one of the very first awesome pictures, don't you think?
Yeah.
Man, that just blows my mind.
The Lamb will set you free.
Yeah. If they weren't working a lot, they just have a meal.
Yeah.
Rest in him. Have faith in him as this angel goes over and passes judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first. I mean, it's not the first test of faith. They've had a lot of tests of faith
mm-hmm.
with the plagues. But this one deals with your life, baby.
Right.
Okay.
it's probably the biggest test of faith at that point.
Yeah. Your kid could die in this room. Your mm-hmm. firstborn. You don't do this. You're going to experience death.
Yeah.
So it's, what other picture do you get from this? Would that, it'd be somber.
Mm-hmm.
Going, man, hey, Bob, did you put the blood over the doorpost, man?
Nah, I'm not worried about it. This thing's so far-fetched. This story's so far-fetched. Whatever. That's not going to happen. Oops, it did.
Did you find your best lamb?
Mm-hmm.
You got this order down?
Mm-hmm.
You got your staff ready to go? Your sandals on? Because we're about ready to go to be free, man.
Well, that's interesting because That's one thing we never, I've never heard it talked about, that aspect of it, is that when we're given this order, when the Israelites were given this order way back when, and when we receive it today, when we're talking about it and studying it, whatnot, and you have a choice. You make a choice to yay or nay, mm-hmm. you know, and how many people, how many Israelites way back when responded positively? Mm. How many responded negatively? It doesn't say. It doesn't say that 99% of them did it right. It doesn't say 2% did it right. But the people as a body, as a whole, they were successful. But we don't know how many people weren't successful. Mm. And so that's something that...
You don't know which houses died?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, because he says these things are required. And so we all have a choice. You can, you know, you're making the reference to it in a comical way, mm-hmm. but it was a true reference.
Yeah.
That Jimmy could say, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't believe in that. You know, well, Jimmy's going to die. And it's not because, I mean, it's a harsh thing to say, but Yahweh is Yahweh. His will be done. And he's the death angel flying overhead. And whether it's Yeshua precisely or an archangel, my personal feeling is that it was Yeshua. Mm. And he's coming in. That's the requirement of death. If you don't follow his rules, mm-hmm. I don't think he would give that ability, that duty to an angel. I think he would take that upon himself. Mm. And so...
Okay, but hang on, because I don't want to lose your thought. What you're saying to me, and just reiterated, is that this is a personal choice.
Yeah. Okay. We all have to make it.
Whoa. So why the individual home, and why not a huge convocation meeting for Passover? This just dawned on me.
Well, this is a great responsibility. Why
did not Moses say, okay, guys, we don't want anyone to blow it. We got to do this right. So we're going to create this huge tabernacle to come into this place, and then we'll all celebrate it. And he could have done that any other way, but why the home? What's so important about the home?
Well, the whole issue with Yeshua and Yahweh and the Ruach is family. There is a Father, Son, and a Holy Spirit. And whether you term that as the Father and the Mother and the Son, I don't know how you want to do that. What makes it feel right to you? But the fact is, family is the core of Yahweh.
Is that the big congregation family, the Mishpokah?
It's everything, but it's based upon the single individual family. Father, Son, children.
Why?
But
you just said it. You said individual choice.
Yeah.
The large congregation cannot meet in unity unless people make an individual choice within their family to accept the blood of the Lamb in their family.
That's right. And
oh,
so
my
we're not going to come together, 150 of us, 200 of us, and say, okay, now, everybody make your decision. No, yes, 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 no, 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 maybe. Maybe, 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 you know.
What just, time?
Yeah, exactly.
Every family has to accept the blood of the Lamb.
Exactly.
The olive and the bet. The strong ox in the home. That's the first part of the Hebrew language. So if the family does not accept that in their home, you can't belong to a larger family.
You can't. Because you will not tear us down. And that's what those people would do, is they would tear the whole down. And that's why.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
I forgot to turn those on. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. Yeah, it would be good if Roland unmuted the mic. Speaking of unmuting, we were actually, we had left with this idea of learning to unmute or unpack. That very first marker, the Passover that the Israelites had to learn to deal with on an individual basis, on a family basis. And Tuck over the break had shared with me, and I wish we'd do it again here, is that if each family did not make the decision to accept the lamb within their home, if we look at that in a broader sense, then if we move out into a large congregation and we have a family who has not accepted the Passover lamb, that would eventually cause division in the general body.
You know, I was watching this TV show Yellowstone. I'm sure some people have heard of it. It's a really fun show. It's not the most biblically following show, but it's entertainment, and I got into it. And so, anyway, there's another show that kind of tells a little more of the backstory of it. In that, this story is set in 1923. This individual, played by Harrison Ford, is a lawman. Livestock commissioner in Montana. And his son was telling him, nephew actually, was telling him, hey, well, you're in law enforcement, but you're one of the people that's making all these laws of all this kind of stuff. And he says, there's a rule of 500 of going way, way back. So we did the study, and it's just all of these little communities would get together, and they'd decide all of their stuff. They were small enough that they could decide the stuff. But when the community got over 500 – they no longer could make decisions with each other, and so they had to create a government, if you will. That was his point. I bring that up to say it's too difficult for us as human beings to make these decisions in a corporate setting. There's too many different opinions, and I believe that that's where Hasatan gets in and starts manipulating things because he whispers in a couple of different people's ears and have these different ideas. And so now we get into conflicts and feuds and we can't decide anything together corporately. So we need to make our decisions individually. If we make our decisions individually with Yahweh's plan, well, now we're all deciding from the same place.
Amen.
And we should be doing it. Tuck asked me this morning, says, hey, who'd you guys have on last week? We had some ice stuff, and Tuck was like, I'm not going to venture out there with all the other crazy people. So, you know, who'd you have? And I says, we had Richard Ruling last week. So we talked a little more about his thought about some prophecy stuff kind of coming through. Mm-hmm. And realizing that all of these different prophecy people that we've been talking to have made this, call it a 7-year window of, you know, Yahweh's return. And so I think even if it's not that, we're all off by 1,000 years or more, it certainly still feels like we're having to, or the movement is to, pull back into scripture, be more individually family-centered in our decisions with our relationship with Yahweh, instead of these big corporate churches, Joel Osteen, that have lost sight of how we're supposed to be fellowshipping with each other and Yeshua. And so we need to pull back and look at scripture. And there's this movement of, at least that's what I'm feeling, of that's where we're supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, I think when you mention that, Aaron, there is something in Scripture that Yahweh's asked us to meet together.
Yeah.
Or to rest in the Creator. That's his Moedim.
Mm-hmm.
But the marker before the Moedim seems to be this one decision that every family has to come to a conclusion of. Do they accept the Lamb?
Right.
If you accept the Lamb, if you accept the blood, if you accept the covenant, then you can move into these other Moedim, these festivals.
Yeah.
You can actually make that decision and say, and so I think the individual decision isn't so much about this is how I perceive something or this is how I perceive another.
Mm-hmm.
The individual decision is to accept Yeshua. In the beginning was God.
Right.
So if I accept that the beginning was God, Yahweh, then I have common denominator with you and Tuck.
Mm-hmm.
If I accept the blood of the Lamb saves me,
right,
then I have a common denominator with you and Tuck.
Mm-hmm.
Now everything else starts to fall in place. Because if we're all seeking the Creator, and if we're all seeking the blood, then we're able to figure out how to function as a body.
Yeah.
Because Israel definitely displays the sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's why we have Exodus chapters 23, 24, 25.
Yeah.
Yahweh lays out how to work in a community.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you treat your neighbor. This is how you treat your wife. This is how you treat this. That's community.
Yeah.
You know, but I love what you're saying.
And when you don't have that structure to go to, because at that time, coming out of Egypt, the Israelites, they didn't have anything to say, this is how we live. This is how we treat each other.
Yeah.
So that piece was lacking until this moment that you're bringing up, mm-hmm, here. And, you know, what happened when that group got together is the people cried out for, they wanted a thing, which turned out to be a golden calf.
Oh,
the people
wrote, later. Oh my goodness. Yeah,
they rose up and said, hey, we want you, spiritual leader, to give us this thing.
Make a substitute. Yeah.
They could have been well-intended.
Right.
But they mistook the third commandment. Don't make an image of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
don't
know?
Do it.
Yahweh is good in spirit. He doesn't need to be recreated.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because the people cry out for a thing doesn't mean that that's the thing that they need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What they need is what is given in Scripture.
They need the word of Yahweh.
They need the word of Yahweh. And, you know, just like it says here in the Scripture here, we need to have this Passover in our homes to have that moment together as a family, to make that decision.
Make an individual choice to accept the blood.
Yeah.
Because I can't be affected by you or Aaron. I have to be affected by me and my family.
Yeah.
And that's where my decision has to come from.
It's got to get personal.
Yeah.
Reason to get personal, guys. Let me just take a little bit of a variance.
Okay.
And I love what you're saying about we need to actually get into Scripture. Because time is winding down, okay?
At least we believe so.
So here's another thing here. And we'll just bring it up because I don't want to spend a lot on what the world's doing. But we need to be aware.
Right, because what is happening in the world is going to give us the signs of, hey, the prophecy is coming true.
Okay.
So we need to watch for that at least.
Were there signs to the Israelites in Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
The plagues were the signs.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, so here's the signs.
Mm-hmm. Here's your sign.
Okay.
We got a little Bill Engvall. Here's your sign.
And so we're having those now. Okay, so listen to this. This is in the New Yorker. Russia's Vladimir Putin and China's Xi Jinping last week,
okay,
declared, quote, a new era in global order.
Uh-oh.
Okay, that's their quote. China and Russia have rebelled against NATO. NATO wants all the world,
mm-hmm,
to take on what they deem
NATO or the UN?
NATO.
Okay.
Okay. So they're against this. All right. So let's go on further. In short term, they've endorsed their respective territorial ambitions in Ukraine and Taiwan. Russia wants Ukraine. China wants Taiwan. The world's two most powerful autocrats unveiled a sweeping long-term agreement that challenges the U.S. as a global power and NATO as a cornerstone of international security.
Mm.
Okay? Wow. Quote, friendship between the two states has no limits. They vowed in the communique.
Wow.
You think? After the two leaders have now met on the eve of the Beijing Winter Olympics. In fact, quote, there are no forbidden areas of cooperation. Let that sink in for a minute, all right? This is serious stuff. Something we need to be thinking about.
Yeah.
Okay. And if those two world orders, and they say that they're the new order.
I mean, and these are countries who publicly say that they, or give the impression that they appreciate their populace.
Yeah.
But in reality, they enslave their populace.
Nope.
Yeah. Robert Daley, he's the director of the Kissinger Institute. Now, the Kissinger Institute focuses specifically on China and U.S. relationships.
Okay.
You want to know what his quote is? This is what he said. And he's referring to the pledge that China and Russia made.
Okay.
This is a pledge to stand shoulder to shoulder against America and the West, ideologically as well as militarily. Now,
ooh,
the West,
boy,
you know, has embraced the concepts of woke, the concepts of all
CRT,
all this stuff.
Yeah.
And Russia and China are going, no, we will not accept those ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we will not accept your military. And they're also getting to the point of not accepting the money system put out by the U.S.
Well, I don't want to accept it either, but that's all I have to work on. But.
Okay. So this is happening right now before our very eyes, where we're seeing these world powers. And if those two world powers get together, largest armies, the largest fleets, the largest everything, they get together, we're looking at serious problems. Biden can't even
brush his own teeth.
Brush his own teeth. I mean, what an opportunity. So if I were to take where our current sign is, quote,
mm-hmm,
does your topic of getting back to knowing the Word of God resonate with you? Evidently.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Israel was taken out of the largest world power at its time.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was bigger than Egypt.
Yeah.
So if Yahweh can do that then.
Yeah, he can certainly do it now.
He can certainly do it now. Which really moves us towards this concept of resting or finding support in him.
Yeah. Because there's no way that the Israelis probably could have taken over Egypt, but it would have taken a miracle for them to realize that they could do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that the United States was going to take over the British Navy that mm-hmm. ruled the world
mm-hmm.
without the power of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way that us, you know, just believers are going to survive the world, especially if, you know, countries like Russia and China
get together
and our own state, country, is against us and our beliefs without the help of Yahweh. So
yeah,
we best get right with Yahweh.
But getting right, I think, has to do with condemning the immoralness and coming into the feast of the practice of Passover, because Yahweh's going to judge America I mean, even look at the advertisements coming out for the Army. Right? Mm-hmm. Have you seen some of them?
I don't watch television, so it's just on rare spots of scrolling through Facebook or something like that, but I haven't seen them there. So.
You know, this young girl, she's wanting to join the Army, and she's always wanted to have an identity, and she loves her two moms that were married together, and she's trying to figure out her own sexual identity, but is going to find purpose in the Army.
She's
going to
find her sexual identity by going and working in the Army. Okay.
And then you see the ad that comes out from Russia and China. Military power,
yeah.
Going under ditches, blowing up things, guys with huge muscles going over barriers.
Come join us. You'll be one of these guys.
You'll be one of these guys. Oh, my word. We are heading for some bad times.
Yeah.
You know, but the same was true. Egypt had lost its way. It had become mm-hmm. terribly immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in the time of during Joseph, they worshipped and honored God.
Well,
Yahweh.
Yeah. I don't know how to voice this, but it would seem to me that we need to be part of our prayer concerns needs to be getting people to an awareness of the fact that they need Yahweh.
Yeah.
I mean, Israel had to go through a lot of travail in Egypt before they bonded together in their crying out to the Father.
Yeah, true.
Whereas here in America, most of the people, believers, all branches of believers, are not crying out to the Father.
No.
In my opinion.
No.
So that needs to happen before he's going to come back.
Which I think this is the reason why the understanding of the Hebrew language is so important.
Yep.
Because, again, we'll go back to the Torah, written in Hebrew, which is full of pictures. Full of colorful pictures, not just pictures. And in America, we've always, in the Western mindset, is to think of things in order, right?
Bullet
points, proof texts, things that we can scientifically prove. But there's some things you just can't scientifically prove.
And it takes faith. It
takes faith, right? And so God creates these pictures for us to know. And the first picture starts in Bereshit. And this first picture starts in his first holy day. The Sabbath. And then he creates these Moedim and he wants you to see what he's about. And then there's the tabernacle that creates another picture of who he is and the work that he does for us. These are something that we need to know. Knowing means what in Hebrew?
Intimacy.
Right?
Yeah.
So if we don't do what Aaron is suggesting and we aren't intimate with the very one who created us, we'll be taken.
Yeah.
I think
you won't necessarily lose your salvation, but you will lose your life at that point in time.
Sure.
Because you're in the way.
You're maybe ignorant.
Yeah.
And that's one of your favorite words. I love that word because ignorant isn't stupid.
No, it's just not having all the knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the wisdom.
Or the wisdom.
Because, without wisdom, there is no knowledge and vice versa. But anyways, I want us to get into this thing about the mercy seat. Because to me, that's one of the most critical parts mm-hmm. of the sanctuary. The sanctuary has hundreds of things that we could talk about. Rings, curtains, duties, furniture, how to put up, how to take down. I mean, there's just hundreds of discussions on the tabernacle. Which is why I think it has 50 chapters in the scripture.
Yeah.
That includes the tabernacle somewhere, somehow. But the Hebrew word, let's just break this down for a minute, and you're going to love this being a dad, right?
Okay.
The word for mercy, okay, all by its little lonesome, is called rakam. Okay? It's the exact same three-letter root as the word for womb, meaning rakem.
Hmm.
Okay, so let's take that picture for a minute. Mercy and womb.
So it's a all surrounding protective shell, if you will.
It's where life comes from.
You guys are nailing this.
Okay.
So life itself is protected
mm-hmm.
with this mercy thing. And who is the author of mercy?
Yeshua Yahweh. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now let's go in one more step further. Now, Yahweh says this to even to Moses, so he even defines it himself. When God dispenses mercy, he automatically thinks about protecting. Okay? So even when Moses wanted to see the glory of Yahweh himself, what did Yahweh say?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
I will make all my goodness pass before you and will declare my name before you. I'll be gracious to whom I want to be gracious and merciful, Rakim, to whom I want to be merciful to.
And you will be shielded. You won't have direct vision to
it. Right.
He says, yeah. Behold, there is a place near me where you shall stand on the rock.
Yeshua.
Yeah. And as my glory passes by, I'll set you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover you like a womb with my hand until I have passed. Then I'll remove my hand and then you'll see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, Yahweh does have a face.
Yeah.
That he sent to us. What is that face? Yeshua.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because Yeshua is that transcendent, that connection,
mm-hmm.
that clenched nail that runs from heaven to earth. The Vav is a wonderful teacher and friend of mine, as David says, the Vav man. The Vav man makes that connection from heaven to earth, and we get to see God's face. But it's not a face that kills us. It's a face
that saves us.
Saves us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, his name Yeshua means salvation.
Salvation of Yah.
Right? So we get to move there. All right. So now let's get on this other thing. Let's see if we have a couple more minutes. So if we put mercy with the seat, mercy seat in Greek means propitiation. Now we're going to get to the Hebrew meaning soon.
Okay.
But mercy seat in the Greek understanding is propitiation. Propitiation means something that's appeasing, something that soothes,
okay,
something
okay.
that takes place of. Now, if we understand the sacrificial system, what does it always say? The bull or the lamb is placed on the sacrifice, and it was what?
A substitution.
A pleasing,
yeah, pleasing aroma.
Or a propitiation for the sin. And that's what this will mean. So when Yahweh displayed publicly his son, Yeshua, on the cross, it's talked about that Yeshua was a propitiation for our sins, a pleasing or soothing aroma to Yah.
Right, he was
because
a covering.
It saved us, that covering again, the womb, saves us from our sins. Hence the word mercy seat.
And isn't a seat a place of rest?
Yeah.
Yes. And what's going to be sprinkled on this seat? Blood.
Blood.
Now, when we get back on the other one, we're going to look at the Hebrew side of the mercy seat. Okay? And then the picture that's there, and it's going to blow your mind. It's called a Kaporeth, which is the letters of Kaf, Pe, Resh, and Tav.
Yeah, that's like what Yom Kippur is all about.
Oh, baby.
The covering.
Yes. And it's all displayed in the mercy seat. And so when we get to understand the mercy seat, I believe we'll understand the works of Messiah, that he wants to be proactive in our life, which is why I believe Yeshua cannot be a prophet, a good man.
No.
Hang on tight.
To Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Hey, we be back.
Is it hay time?
Alfalfa time, maybe.
Alfalfa time?
Straw's cheaper.
Yeah, we've been talking about some pretty serious topics. I think I need to rest on some hay, man. You know, it's, wow.
Hey!
They've done that before.
My girls roll their eyes when I do that one.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, Dad.
Stop it. We've been talking about rest in the Modim. We've been talking about coming to a personal acknowledgement of the saving blood of Messiah and the Lamb that needs to be in your home. And we're now even moving towards the sanctuary and the mercy seat that's within it and what that can tell us. What picture does it give us? And what assurances does it give us in such a time as this, in a time where the world seems to be in some major chaos?
As minor, as opposed to a minor chaos.
Yeah, right. What is a minor chaotic? I don't know.
I don't think there is. Chaos is chaos.
This is true.
Can't be minor or major. It's just chaos.
Well, the break, we left you with the Hebrew term kaporeth, which is the description or the word given to mercy seat in Hebrew. It's the Hebrew letters of kaf, pe, resh, and tav. Now, I know some of this might not make sense to you for the first time, and you're going, what? What are you talking about? So we're going to try to give you a picture. And
can you speak English?
And if Aaron catches on, that means you will catch on. Okay? Okay, so.
Wait, what are we talking about?
The cough. Yeah. Well, it's a different kind of cough.
Oh. Oh, okay.
It's K-A-F.
Okay.
Okay? And it's a picture of an open hand. All right? It's an open hand. And an open hand means to open or to cover or to allow. So if I open my hand, I'm allowing you to come into me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. To cover with my hand means I'm going to protect something. And to open my hand means, hey.
I'm not hiding anything.
I'm not hiding anything.
Yeah.
All right. Second letter is pay. Now, pay is the picture of an open mouth. It means it's speaking.
Okay.
All right.
And when we pay, we speak with our dollar.
Right. Okay. The resh is a picture of a head that even is crowned. It means a master or a prince. All right.
Okay.
The tav, of course, is a picture of the crossed wooden sticks, a seal, a sign, or a covenant. It's like a cross.
Okay.
Okay, so let's take those pictures.
Yeah.
And let's look at the mercy seat.
So we have, let's just do it real quick. We've got the open hand, not hiding anything.
It can be to cover or to cover, open or to allow.
Right. Which pay. Moves to pay, to speak.
The rest is the picture of the?
Of the crown, right, the head.
Uh-huh. The great leader.
Great leader.
And the tav is the? Covenant,
the crot, the guess.
The wooden sticks. All right. So here's something that we need to ask ourselves. If I were to take the hand as a cover, it could cover the mouth of what? The possible prince. So what is he not saying in the Ark of the Covenant? So just stay with me for a minute because we know that there's a cover. Okay. And we mm-hmm. know that there's angels over
right.
that covering. So what are we dealing with? Well, kaporeth, the root word of that is kafer, which actually means to cover.
Okay.
All right? So kaporeth is not just a place for Yahweh to meet with the high priest, but it must be something important.
Mm-hmm.
So this mercy seat is important. In Hebrews 9:4, we have a golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold. It means it's precious,
mm-hmm.
wherein there is a golden pot that had manna. Now, in the Old Testament, we see some of these beside it, but it's still kind of covered. So depending on what not you're looking at, the interpretation of Hebrew or the Torah, there's still a covering. So we have a pot of manna, Aaron's rod, and the tables of the covenant. Now, we do know that both New and Old say that the tables of the covenant are in.
Yeah, those are the tablets.
The other two are leaning up against it.
According to Torah, yeah. Then according to Paul, it says it's in. Either way, there's a covering.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But one that's really covered is that tablets that we know of. Now, let's look at these for a minute. Now, the hand of Yahweh is usually open to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kaf. There are reminders of when God would provide something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take these three things.
Okay.
Did God provide manna?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But what did the people do with the manna after a period of time? They complained about it.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And so then he sends them quail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's still some people that do it. They kind of do it. But at first sign, they go, this is getting old. I don't want to eat this stuff anymore. It's boring. Mm-hmm. We want meat. So he says, okay, have enough to where it just kind of comes out of your nostrils. Right? Then we have a shepherd's rod. Did the people, and that was provision he gave through Moses. Here's your mm-hmm. leader, everyone.
Right.
What did Israel do with the leader?
Complain to him and say that he was not.
Yeah, we don't want you.
Right.
We're holy too. Okay? So let's make all of us lead. What about the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, we don't need those.
What did Yahweh say that they were with his open hand? The commandments are life.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we know that from Deuteronomy. These are life. Follow them, and you'll receive life.
That's right.
All right? But then they rebel, and we know after a series of time, they start refusing even Yahweh himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's these, in the covenant, or here in this mercy seat area, we see provision, but we also see reminders of rebellion, all covered under the what seat?
Mercy.
The mercy mm-hmm. seat. Okay, so let's look at one more thing. And this blew me away. I forgot this. But did you know that Israel made a blood covenant?
Israel made a blood covenant.
And I find it fascinating to me to actually read about it. In chapter 24 of Exodus, Moses is writing down what he's going to do, and he takes half of the blood of the bulls, this is verse 6, and puts it in a basin. And the other half of the blood he sprinkles on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then he takes the Book of the Covenant. Now, what's inside the mercy seat?
The Book of the Covenant.
Okay?
The 10 words.
Yeah, and he read it in the hearing of the people, and they all said what? All that Yahweh has spoken will do and will be obedient.
So they said that they were going to do it. They came into an agreement with it.
Yes. So in verse 8, so Moses takes the blood that's in the basin
mm-hmm.
and he sprinkles it on the people. Oh, my word. And he says, behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you in accordance with all these words.
Okay. Yeah.
Got the picture?
I recently read this and I didn't catch that point.
Wow. So
that makes it that much more significant of them saying, yes, we will follow it.
More binding.
And
what blood is it that this is here? This is Yeshua's blood.
Yeah.
So
the bull, the ox of the house.
Yeah.
Okay? The strength of the house. So we have that strength of the house even in the mercy seat picture
mm-hmm.
because we're talking about to speak and the resh and the tav. It's all about the covenant. Wow. So they make this covenant by blood, which means it's binding.
Right.
So who's going to take care of the binding when they decide they don't want to follow this anymore?
The other half of the commitment.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You are getting hold of this. This is amazing. Now, look at the picture of blood in Scripture is what? Life.
Yes.
Okay? So we take life that's sprinkled on people, and we're going to take life that's going to be sprinkled on the mercy seat. It's one of the reasons why we're told not to drink blood. mm-hmm. because it represents life. It represents every DNA unique to every person.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're not supposed to take that into ourselves. This is Yahweh's creation.
Right. I mean, even when we go and we cook the meat that is provided for us, the quail, and, you know, other animals, you got to cook it out, the blood out of it.
That's why we say kosher things. So mm-hmm. people, why are you eating meat that's kosher? Well,
got to get the blood out.
Because there's a picture here
yeah.
that Yahweh wants us to remember. Yeah. All right. So let's go into this. The blood of the bulls represented the blood of the prince, or the strength of the house, who would keep his covenant and is sent by Yahweh as his son, the prince, knowing that mankind would not be able to keep their words. But like you said, he's a God of his word.
Mm-hmm.
This again is verified by Yah himself when he declares, this is his quote, "There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, Kaf Pei Resh Tav, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the Ark of the Testimony." Who's the testimony? Yeshua.
Yeshua, yes.
"I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel." So let's break that down. There. Where's there? At the mercy seat. There at the mercy seat, I will meet with you. Who is the only thing, according to what we found out from the womb picture, that separates us from the power of God so that we can live? Yeshua.
Yeah, the high priest, okay? Yes.
So we know that he puts a face on Yeshua in order to save us. So we have this. There I'll meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, the hand, the mouth, the head, and the covenant, from between the two cherubim, those that protect, which upon the Ark of the Testimony, Yeshua, I will speak to you about all that I'll give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. This is really important. That's Exodus 25:22. So let's get a hold of this picture. It's going to be the blood of the Messiah that protects and covers us from the glory and the power of Yahweh himself.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I made the statement before the break. And you guys tell me if you agree or if
no, I don't agree.
Way off base. This cannot be, this blood cannot be from some other good man. It can't be from a good prophet.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be from some sort of holy priest. Because we're told in Scripture that we all fall short of the glory of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Anything that's created has fallen short of the glory of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
So this blood from Yeshua has to be the pure lamb.
Right.
It can't be anything else.
Well, it's just like all of the, you know, right before this, you talk about all the sacrifices, you know, and every time it's, you know, the lamb or a bull or whatever without blemish.
Yeah.
Because Yeshua was without blemish.
Got to let that set in for a minute.
Yeah.
And if we go back to Hebrews, about when he says they didn't find my rest in the wilderness, they didn't find Yeshua in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we all fall short. We all fall short of the glory. But that blood, the blood of the covenant that goes on the, it covers our sin,
mm-hmm.
the sin of rejecting leadership, the sin of rejecting food, the sin of rejecting the commands.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one person that can do that. Yeshua.
Yeah.
According to Scripture. You know, it's the beauty and theme of the Scripture always talks, always points to this salvation, this great prince. The parables were all about the great prince.
Mm-hmm.
The Torah, the writings are all about this new king. It doesn't, we don't say the new king's going to be Elijah. We don't say the new king's going to be Samuel. We don't say that.
Yeah.
The picture is all about this Yeshua, the Messiah. And it's directed in not only the creation, but the mercy seat and continued through. I mean, we could talk about this for hours of all the pictures.
Right.
So where does this put us in this time period? How does this picture help you or me, Tuck, Aaron? How does that help us out with our families? How does that help me out? Because we just mentioned this new era that China and Russia want to bring about. How does this help us in any way?
Well, I think it comes back down to establishing that relationship personally.
Yeah.
You know, and not just sitting in a church pew or a chair in some congregation or fellowship and just listening to some pastor that has been trained and taught, you know, these different messages. Mm. But taking that information that they have discovered, applying it to yourself, putting up, you know, open up the scripture yourself and looking at it and say, what is the message to me? What is Yahweh saying to me? And how am I going to apply all of this information myself, to me, my family? What is my duty as a father? What is my duty as a husband that Yahweh has planned for me? And how am I supposed to live that out myself?
Dude, you just described the very first meeting of Passover. You're the dad in your home.
Yeah.
And you're trying to decide, oh my goodness, this is a somber moment. The angel of death is coming over my house, our house. Mm. Did I apply the blood of the lamb to my house? Did we talk as a family about the importance of the lamb that we just nurtured in our home?
Yeah.
And are we ready to go free?
And what does that mean?
Exactly.
What does that look like? Go free. I mean,
what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going. I'm not just going to, you know, wander the country, in our van for the rest of my life. No, that's not what the going free means. I'm not going to be out from under the rule of the United States government. I live in the country. I'm going to always have that over me no matter what, right? It's freedom from eternal death.
Yeah.
As long as I accept Yeshua as my Savior, who shed the blood that is covering me and my family.
Yes, for me, when I put that blood on, when I put the blood on of Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, when I put that on me, I can now enter the courts of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a covering.
Yeah.
And now I'm dealing with my spiritual man. My spiritual man is important, and mm-hmm. that gives me freedom. If I know that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I've accepted him in my life, and he sprinkled me with his blood, I can handle this physical realm.
Yeah.
Because to me, the spiritual realm is greater than the physical realm. So I don't have to be in fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is how the martyrs were able to die with no fear on their lips.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's how missionaries go into remote areas of the world, knowing that they could be murdered, and they're still singing some sort of hymn
mm-hmm.
as they're being faced with people with machetes and guns. My fleshly man would go, oh my goodness, here it comes.
Yeah.
My spiritual man is going, bring it on, baby, because I'm with the King.
Yeah. I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't know if I'm going to lose my head here on this, but okay.
I know, right?
You know, Yahweh has a plan, and I have a part in this plan. Here we go.
Here we go. Wow. Tuck, what are you thinking, man?
Pretty heavy.
Or are you just resting in?
Just resting in the in the wisdom.
Oh, man. How do we get to that point? We should have called up Tad today. Tad knows how to rest. But, yeah, that's, you know, that would have been fun. I guess as we enter into these feast days, I think we need to just really explore more about the importance of their pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go all the way back to Genesis, the very beginning of Genesis. And the very first set apart time is that Sabbath.
Right.
But he also tells us before the Sabbath, he put these things in place
mm-hmm.
to let us know about his Moedim, those stars, those moons, all those times.
I'm excited to hear more about what you were saying with this podcast talking about the full creation week and how that puts out a whole different picture.
Oh, it does. It does.
Because that picture sets up the picture of our relationship with Yeshua, which sets up the picture of the Passover and the resurrection and the second coming.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a whole another thing, but Tuck, I had asked Tuck to write something down before this show and I wanted to end with it. What did I ask you to write down?
Well, we were talking about doing the feast in Shabbat and whether or not we're doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
If you're doing the feast and Shabbat wrong for the sake of unity, that's unity is not all that fired up important.
No, but
you need to be doing the feast and Shabbat for one purpose, and that's one purpose alone, is to get to know Yeshua Yahweh.
Thank you. That's the reason, to get to know. Many times, I mean, Tuck, you've experienced this over the years a lot, right? A new person comes into a Hebrew group or a Messianic group, and they what do they say about the feast days? I'm afraid to do the feast day because I might do it
wrong. I don't know how to do it.
I don't know how to do it. But there is no real specific. I mean, there are some instructions around the feast days, okay? But it doesn't get really specific. I think it's there for a reason, because it's for that last reason that you had written about. Yahweh wants us to know him, right? If we start making an effort, say, I'm putting this day aside, and I'm thinking about rest, I'm going to stop my 9-to-5 job, as Dolly Parton's thought sang about. And I quit the 9-to-5, and I quit the, I gotta, what Aaron was saying. And we go, you know what? I'm going to rest in this day. He said to set it aside, and I'm going to see what he has in store for me.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing to where we get so caught up into doing it properly that we have a plan. We think we have a plan, and we stick to it, and we do it. And there's nothing wrong with that per se. But if you don't begin your day with communing with Yahweh, then you're going to be lost. Generally speaking, yeah, because whatever you do on the Sabbath, you do it for Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's going to Mid Valley Fellowship, whether that's going to this church or that church, whatever.
Or being with your family.
You do it for Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you need to talk.
See ya.
From the living word, his light now shines, the darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of the world.